From the land of Grand Theft University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the very first day of October 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's a senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later on in a half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, a district court has vacated a rule designed to limit speculation in the commodity markets. The manufacturing sector in China is improving still, though not up to par with the year-ago figures, and unemployment rates in Eurozone countries remains at record high levels. Dave Dickey will have all the details of these and other stories later in the half hour, and then I'll tell you more about how the marketing year for corn and soybeans ended, and USDA's grain stocks report. Daryl Good will take a look at that smaller-than-expected corn figure, and don't forget that in just 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast as well. All happens right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by Justin Wood and Paul Stevens of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123.
In Chicago, on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day lower. December contract for the soft red winter wheat, a loss today, down 18 and a quarter cents at $8.84 and a quarter. The March at $8.96, down 16 and a quarter. Next year's July soft red, $8.53 and three quarters, down 13 and a quarter in Kansas City. The hard red finished the July contract or the harvest month at $8.94 and a half, up 34 and a half cents. December corn futures back in Chicago, down a penny and a half on the day, $7.54 and three quarters. The March at $7.58, down one and one half as well. And the May futures at $7.56 and a half, unchanged. July corn at $7.45, down 4 cents. September futures of next year, $6.67 and three quarters in the corn pit, up 8 3/4. That's right, a gain of 8 3/4 in the September. December at $6.31 and a quarter, up just 0.75 cents. November beans in the bean pit, $15.61, down 40 cents. January at $15.62 and a half, down 40 and a quarter. The March at $15.31, down 33 and a quarter. And the May futures at $14.88, down 33 and a half. July beans at $14.68 and a half, down 28 and a quarter. And the August contract at $14.48 and three quarters, down 14 and a quarter cents. November beans of next year at $13.29 and a half cents, down 8 and three quarters on the afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. Mercantile exchange numbers finished the December live cattle today at 126.12 and a half. That's $1.42 and a half higher. February at 129.55, up $1.12 and a half. October feeders at 144.67 and a half, 87 and a half higher. November at 145.62 and a half, up $1.27 and a half. And October lean hogs at 77.57 and a half, 40 cents higher. December futures there, 75.12 and a half, $1.37 and a half cents higher. Outside markets on the afternoon, crude oil trading at $92.56 a barrel, up 36 cents. The RBOB or wholesale price of gasoline, 0.2 cents lower at 291 7/10, ethanol at 234 5/10, and the spread between the November contract is the October in the RBOB has expired now, 57 cents for the day. That's down just about 0.6 cents. Natural gas at 348 4/10, that's 16.5 cents higher for the afternoon, and heating oil at 313 6/10, up 2 3/10 of the day. November gold futures at $1,781.90 an ounce, a settlement price up $9.40, and the U.S. dollar trading at 79.81, down 0.11. CRB index at 309.30, up 0.02 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service. For the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon, cloudy, a high of 67 degrees on an east-northeast wind at about 8 to 10 miles an hour. Tonight, a 20% chance of showers, cloudy, and a low of 52 degrees. Tomorrow, 30% chance of showers, cloudy, and 68 degrees. Tomorrow evening, 40% chance of showers, cloudy, and 54. Wednesday, a 30% chance of showers in the area, mostly cloudy at a high of 71. Things start to clear out by the time we get to Wednesday night, partly cloudy and 54. Sunny on Thursday at a high of 75 degrees. We'll have a more complete look at the weather forecast at the bottom of the half hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
On this Monday afternoon, time to check the agricultural markets in Chicago. Along the line with us today is Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, and serves as their senior grains analyst. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
I trust you had a good weekend after kind of a rough day on Friday, depending on what side of the market you happen to be on.
Boy, it's been a one-way affair, straight up, straight down, kind of volatile as the trade is anxious to get positions on. I imagine the calmness is going to set in here until we see what the October report shows, and I imagine that will probably be another dramatic event, either up or down, according to what numbers come out of those reports there, Todd.
Well, you thought it might have been calm today, despite the fact that we had limit moves in the corn on Friday. But things didn't settle down very much, in particular for the bean pit, a loss of 40 cents in the November contract for the nearby.
A little surprised about that, for the most part. I didn't view the numbers last week as, you know, a concern, but we continue to hear better than expected yields. A lot of 55, 60 bushel area yields in some areas, not everywhere. Then we're seeing forecasts of better precipitation in the southern hemisphere when you go out and project a potential supply out of the southern hemisphere next spring. It's going to be fairly huge here. And if the slowdown in Chinese buying and the numbers we're currently looking at, it sort of deterred the buyers to put their hands in their pockets for a while. Technically, the momentum indicators are down, and we've got the funds on the sell side. They sold anywhere from 7,000 to 8,000 contracts of beans going into midday, so there's no urgency to be a buyer in the bean complex just yet. Some of the technical trend following devices project that these beans could probably drop down to this 1525, 1520 area basis November futures contract if we can't hold the lows we made here last week.
Yeah, if you look forward to the 2013 growing season, are you of a mind that producers should consider making new crop sales for either corn or soybeans at this time?
We feel there's nothing wrong with getting your big toe in the water and getting some sales on. Particularly, you know, when you look at these 13 corn and up towards this 640, 650 area, we think that's an area to have some sales on. And in November beans back up towards the $14 level. When you look at the potential production for next year, if weather cooperates, it's going to be awful hard to keep the bullish enthusiasm going.
What are you hearing from producers that may be in the field this week as far as yields go?
Well, it's going to be a big bean week. A lot of the corn's been out in some areas here, and a lot of guys are working on beans. They just continue to pleasantly surprised with the extra bushels. Guys seem willing to be a seller across the scale. Some areas where they've move the corn or have taken the corn to elevator, they're anxious to put beans in the bin to have something to mess with this winter, for say.
All right, and on the livestock side, what are your expectations?
Well, the hog market is trying to regroup or retrace the move we lost from this summer here. We're entering the 50% area here at this 78-cent area. We'll see if it holds. The big thing will be the whether or not we'll see liquidation going into this winter. When you visit with hog producers in general that are on contract, they're kind of concerned about $8 corn. So as long as $8 stays on the back burner here, I think guys are going to stick with it. If corn would go on up to $8, I think we could probably see another good round of liquidation this winter here, Todd.
Did the quarterly hogs and pigs report play out what you just told us, that while they're concerned about $8 corn, liquidation has yet to come in some places?
Now, when you the report is pretty well online there. When you look at what the trade was looking for and what actually came out, there was no real move. When we look at the reports, we need to see a 3% swing up or a 3% sit, swing down to really look for a shift in trend, and those numbers were fairly well in line. Expectations are about as expected on those numbers, Todd.
Given all of that, do you see any place where rationing or constraint of supply of corn might actually impact the livestock market because it or the corn market, because it doesn't appear that end users are backing off yet?
Well, they backed off this summer. They took some downtime. We saw, you know, substitution in the rationing, but right now they're not. The end users going full bore here to get some coverage on. When you visit with the guys that buy corn for the last couple of years, they've really been caught not getting the coverage on, and I think the number one plan they've had is to make sure they get some coverage on. So they're going to be fairly aggressive buyers this fall and through at least the first part of this winter. Then after that, we'll see what the market tells us after that.
Thanks so much, Kurt.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon. You can hear him again if you'd like on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Well, your Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey, is here now. He'll help us take a look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, a district court has vacated a new rule designed to limit speculation in commodity markets. In a loss for regulators and the 2010 Dodd-Frank financial overhaul law, the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia sent the rule back to the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, ruling that the Dodd-Frank statute is ambiguous as to whether the limits were mandatory and regulators didn't properly justify the imposition of the limits. The CFTC passed the so-called position limits rule in October of 2011 in a 3-2 vote along party lines. The debate leading up to the vote showed how even some commissioners supporting the rule thought it might not be effective. The new limits have long been a target of trade groups and the futures industry, and the agency's proposed rule prompted about 15,000 comment letters. The rule aims to cap the positions firms can take in certain commodity contracts in order to curb sharp price increases. China's manufacturing contracted again in September, but improved from the previous month. The China Federation of Logistics and Purchasing today says that its monthly purchasing managers index stood at 49.8 points on a 100-point scale, on which numbers below 50 indicate a contraction. That was up 0.6 points from August's numbers and the first improvement in 4 months. China's economic growth fell to a 3-year low of 7.6% in the quarter ending in June. Unemployment across the 17 countries that use the euro remained at its record high of 11.4% in August. In August, 34,000 more people lost their jobs in the eurozone. That, according to data released today by the European statistics agency Eurostat. Greece and Spain have the highest unemployment rates in the eurozone, around 25% for both. The sign-up period for the 2011 crop year Supplemental Revenue Assistance Payments Program will open on October 22nd. Under the 2008 Farm Bill, SURE authorizes assistance to farmers and ranchers who suffered crop losses caused by natural disasters occurring through September 30th of 2011. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Up next, you know the marketing year for corn and soybeans has ended, and USDA has tallied what's left over from last fall's harvest. We got those numbers on Friday morning. I'll have more in a moment from University of Illinois Ag Economist Darrell Good about the smaller-than-expected corn figure. When the United States Department of Agriculture released the grain stocks report Friday, the corn number surprised the trade. It was much lower than expected, and University of Illinois ag economist Darrell Good says it has created a dilemma.
988 million bushels of old crop corn on hand September 1, about 140 million less than the USDA had forecast. Here's the dilemma this year. We had so much new crop corn harvested before September 1, probably over a billion bushels, maybe 1.2 billion. Normal is maybe 200 to 300 million bushels, and we've had as much as maybe 700. So we had a lot of new crop corn available in the old crop marketing year, and what the stocks report doesn't tell us is how much of that new crop was consumed during the last quarter of the old crop marketing year. So old crop stocks, smaller than expected, but it doesn't really tell us what feed consumption really was during the quarter. We know what disappeared for old crop, but we don't know what disappeared for new crop. That anything that was used new crop during August will show up as consumption during the first quarter of next marketing year, and that will be revealed in the December 1 stocks report. So I'm not sure really how anybody formed any kind of expectation about what the September 1 stocks of old crop corn would be. So now that we have the number, does it say that we just didn't use as much new crop as we thought we did during August, and it's still out there in inventory? Or does it say feed demand was much more robust than we thought, and we used not only the new crop, but we used more old crop than we thought during the quarter? We don't know the answer to that. You get, I think, additional confusion because the apparent feed and residual use of wheat during the summer quarter was huge, about 435 million bushels, when typically we do, 250 million bushels. So one interpretation is that we just fed a lot of grain during the summer, a lot more than anybody expected. The other interpretation is we just didn't use as much of the new crop as people thought we would.
Again, Good says we'll know more about how that corn disappeared in the December grain stocks report. He, however, thinks the livestock sector really did go through a lot of grain this summer.
I really do. I think, the liquidation that we saw during the summer months came late and was primarily breeding herd that we were liquidating. But all the liquidation, I think, was breeding herd, which means that we were still feeding a lot of animals. Feed use was, I think, very large during the summer. It appears that quite a bit of that was met with wheat, but in total, we should have fed a lot of grain this summer.
How much really has yet to be determined, and the trade will just have to guess until the December grain stocks report arrives. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
For WILL Agricultural Reports comes from Country Financial. Information on federal crop insurance programs for next year is available now from your Country Financial representative or crop specialist. Country Financial is an equal opportunity provider.
This is the closing market report. It is a Monday afternoon from the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Michael Yeoman is on the phone line to take up the cash grain market with us. Good afternoon to you, Michael.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Soybeans mostly today or corn too?
Well, soybeans today is a story. I mean, we saw quite a bit of pressure on the market, down 40 on beans, and wheat was lower as well as export numbers came in below expectations. But corn held its own and remained pretty much unchanged most of the day.
Truck lines out front?
I'm sorry, what's that?
Do you have truck lines out front?
Starting to slow down on corn. We don't have lines really to get on the scales here. I think corn harvest is getting close to 70 to 80% done.
And soybeans, of course, don't come up in much mass, as much mass, but I suppose there might be a few folks in the field today, although it's kind of gray and overcast.
Correct. I mean, we're just starting to see beans come off in the area a little bit heavier, but you're right, you know, not as much mass, and I think we're probably still a week out from seeing good volume on beans.
And tell me a bit more about why you think the 40-cent drop happened in Chicago for the beans.
I think we're seeing a little bit of harvest pressure as far as beans go. I mean, the late August rains have really seemed to pick up the yields from where we could have been given the summer we had. I'm looking at 45 to 50 bushels per acre around the Champaign area.
Your expectations for basis for the coming week?
Basis feels on corn a little bit weaker for the moment. In the last week to 2 weeks, we've seen Indiana ethanol plants start to fade their bid. Also, over here in Illinois, we've seen bids fade. So I think we'll remain where we're at for now, but until we get through harvest at least.
And your expectations, once we get through harvest, is for the bid to come back then?
I would imagine as corn starts to slow down on movement, there's not going to be a lot of corn out in the bin, given that most of it made it to the elevator this fall anyways due to quality concerns and putting it in the bin.
How much did you take in this fall?
I'm not sure on an exact number, but it feels like a lot
comparison?
Of bin corn. it's closer to... Closer to in-line expectations, but we just think it's a lot of bin movement.
Meaning
corn that would normally go to the bin made it in the fall.
Oh, so you're taking in because of aflatoxin and
Correct.
Other potential problems.
Correct. Right.
Okay, so that'll put you really short by the time when. How long does it take to flip the elevator?
I think we'll see it. I think we'll see it even by spring, depending on what rail basis does. I think it's going to be hard to find corn come April, May, June.
And which directions are calling for corn at the hardest at the moment? The southeast, of course, we've heard has been wanting to not just the rail corn, but importing from other places. Do you see that in what you're seeing in rail bids?
Correct. I'd say the southeast is about the best market right now. I mean, SIF's a little bit, SIF's been weak all fall with problems with Mississippi and everything else they got going on. Indiana, like I said, the ethanol bids have started to fade some. So I'd say the market's the southeast.
Okay, thanks so much.
All right, thank you, Todd.
Mm-hmm. That is Michael Yeomans. He's at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Joins us on the closing market report for this Monday afternoon. I'll be back in just a couple minutes. The folks at Chesapeake Energy are not in, but Mike Tenora has agreed to join us for a look at the agricultural weather forecast.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
It's Agricultural Fair Day. It's also World Vegetarian Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1795, Robert Bakewell died. An agriculturalist, he helped revolutionize cattle and sheep breeding in England. He obtained the best animals he could find, and then he worked with a closed herd, inbreeding only superior animals. In 1908, the Model T Ford was introduced at a price of $825. Due to efficient mass production, by 1925, the price of a two-door Model T was only $260. In 1913, a monument to honor seagulls was erected in Salt Lake City. The gulls had eaten a plague of grasshoppers that threatened the Mormon settlers' crops in 1848. In 1972, Louis Leakey died, an archaeologist and anthropologist. He was largely responsible for convincing scientists that Africa was the place to search for human origins, not Java or China. And in 1980, European community countries banned the use of hormones in cattle feed. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
This is the Closing Market Report for Monday afternoon. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us, Mike Tenor. He's at T-Storm Weather in Chicago to take a look at the weather forecast with us. Good afternoon to you, Mike. Producers are probably wondering at this point what it is that they might be able to see in the way of rainfall and where, and then how cloudy and kind of humidity and those sorts of things so they can get started in the soybean fields. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, sure can. Right now, we do have some pretty decent rainfall occurring right along I-57, pretty much from just a little bit to the south of Champaign and then off to the east. So southern Indiana, southeast Illinois are seeing some decent rain showers at the moment, and we'll continue to see those over the next, say, 1 to 2 days. There's a large system centered just around Memphis, Tennessee right now, and it's slowly dissipating as it moves to the northeast. So as you move further east from Champaign-Urbana, that's where it would be the wettest over the next 2 days. But, yeah, there is some rain out there, nothing major, but I'd say, you know, a solid half of an inch is on the way for areas to the east of I-57.
And to the north and the west?
Well, mostly dry there. This system will have a difficult time moving into the far western parts of Illinois. So all the way from, say, say Peoria north and west from there, mainly dry over the next 2 to 3 days, the next chance of rain won't develop until a major cold front drops on south, starting on Wednesday and then continuing Thursday and Friday.
And your expectations for next week?
Well, it looks like we're going to see the coldest weather in quite some time coming up, starting Thursday, Friday. We could see highs only in the 40s across the Corn Belt. We're looking for snow flurries, if you can believe it, across the Dakotas and Minnesota. And not only that, but a widespread freeze across most of the Corn Belt. It looks like an unseasonably cold air mass and a huge change from what we've seen over the last several months.
Wow.
If you think back to last year, October of last year was slightly warmer than average, and then November turned very warm. And it basically stayed unseasonably warm all the way until August. And so to see the type of change we're having in the next couple of days here may be a sign that this whole pattern is breaking down, at least as far as the warm weather.
And that was my next question. Is it something that you can see lasting a little longer than usual, or is it just a cold blast for a few days?
I think this one is going to last a little while. It won't be below freezing for a long period. That will be a fairly short period. But if you look at the longer-range computer models, they're all kind of telling you the same thing, which is that we're going to see rounds of cool weather dropping southward from central Canada. And that's the type of pattern that usually keeps the eastern half to two-thirds of the U.S. colder than usual. So we could be looking at a major pattern change. The only thing I would caution is that it would be quite anomalous from an ocean temperature perspective. The type of pattern coming up would be more of what you would expect when you have a La Nina weather pattern as opposed to the El Nino weather pattern that we're in right now, which is rather fascinating because last year we had an El Nino-type pattern.
Thanks,
La
Mike.
Nina.